Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories,
oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I come before you, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we have two that has been brought to me, Father, that is in need of prayer. Frank Guyte and Randy Johnson. Father, we know that Randy was put in the hospital with a heart attack. We ask you to strengthen that heart, Father. Open up all the arteries and things. Clear it all out. And bring that heart back and renew it. Giving me strength back, Father. He is a brother of mine in Christ. Put him back upon his feet, Father, so that he can continually be used for your work. And Frank, Father, I'm not sure what's the matter with him, but you do. You know. So touch him. Touch him with thy mighty power. Make him whole again, Father. Now, Father, we are about to open your word and get into your word. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us here to give us guidance as we look at your word and help us to receive the truth of it, the strength of it, Father, so that we can walk in this life with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us, in us, and working through us. And Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. In Jerusalem and Israel, Father, We pray for peace for that nation. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for this land of ours, a land that has turned its back, walked away from the Lord, walked away from the church, and is looking at your people as being domestic terrorists. Help us, Father, to remove from office those that have taken Jesus out of every place he was in. Don't want his name mentioned nowhere. Don't want us using his name in prayer. And Father, they closed the church doors, claimed the church wasn't essential, but that all of our beer joints and whiskey stores were, and they let them stay open. Father, help us to remove them from office and to replace them with ones that will stand for the church, stand for Jesus, work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer list, Father, as each name is mentioned, may the Holy Spirit touch them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom Jung's son Jacob, for Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ in Brandenburg here, Father, for Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church, and Father, once again, Randy Johnson, the Church of God there at Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, we lift them up, Father. Put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, these churches, not only make them lighthouses, but Father, I pray that they be filled with the Holy Spirit and become places of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these all walk in lands to where, in places that if they are caught will mean imprisonment and death. May they stay safe, Father, and continue to spread your word. Now, Father, for Terry Johnson and the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family and my family, and for each family of those that are listening tonight to this service, We ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, help to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none of our families be lost, Father, that all will find their way to heaven. Now for Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and David, for Palance, for Kelly Smith. Father, these all stand in need of thy healing hand to touch them and to touch their lives. Father, touch them in a mighty and great way and begin to use them, Father, in these days of harvest to help bring in the harvest, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And use us to lift up his name, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, we ask this. Amen. All right. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight for the last part of Ephesians chapter 5. We had gotten almost through it, but we didn't quite make it all the way. So we're going to finish with that, and we'll probably get on in to chapter 6, God willing. All right. We're going to pick up here with verse 22. And we know that these next few verses are something that we do need to see being brought about in great ways, because time has changed so much of it, and they have walked away from your word. Beginning here with verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." We know that today our ladies don't want to be submissive to their husbands. They want to be equal with them. But you know, God had a reason for putting things the way he put them. And he tells the wives to be submissive to their husbands. And there was a reason for that. And we're going to be getting into all of this. Because you see, the husband, in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, that doesn't mean that he has gave you and I as men the right to make them our slaves. That's not what he's telling us. And what he is letting them and us know, he made it that way because he made you and I responsible for them. We are responsible for how they are taught, how they are loved. We are responsible for seeing them under the Lord Jesus Christ. We have found so much change today because women live come along and wanted to make them equal with us. Now they want to take the men's place and take over and tell us what to do. You see, that don't work. And it don't work in the eyes of God. He's told them to be submissive to us. But he's also told you and I that we are responsible. We are to love them. In fact, we are to hold them in very high esteem, even willing to give our lives for them, just as Christ gave his life for the church. Think about that. But how many husbands do you know today that would actually give his life for his wife? Not many. We may know a few that say they would, but when it comes right down to it, they wouldn't do it. And you say, well, that's only for the Christian. No, it's for all. But the thing about it is, she's to be submissive to him as long as he is in line with the Lord. But when he tries to get her to do things that are against the word of Almighty God, then she don't have to listen to that. And she better not do it, because she'd pay for it. That's why man today, he and the ladies both, they need to sit down and spend time together and making sure that they and their lives, when they come together, are what God would want them to be. And if they would do that, we wouldn't have all these divorces and things going on today that we have. You see, the divorce rate in the church today is still as high as it is in the world. And that should not be. Because we're also told that when we marry, we are to be married for life. But that's because we are both supposed to belong to God. And not to be out here and be a part of this world. But when it so happens that we have married and maybe one of us belongs to the Lord and the other one don't, we need to be interceding for the one that don't and guiding them and getting them right with the Lord, getting them into the church and in the hands of Almighty God, and bringing the two of us together to make the two of us as one, as his word tells us. Well, come on down here now to verse 25. You see, I told you, God wasn't leaving mankind out of this. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much, he gave his life for it. And gave himself for it. 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You see, that is the way we are supposed to love our wives. We are to love our wives even more than we do ourselves. And we are to do everything we can do to get them into God's church, see that they are cleansed, see that they have fulfilled that plan of salvation, and that they are walking in and in accordance with the word of Almighty God. And why? Why do we all want to walk in the word and according to what God wants? Well, 27 tells us about that. It says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All of this teaching that's going on today, telling you that you can't live without sin in your life, is teaching that has and is coming to you to deceive you. And it doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan. Because he just told you here in this verse that his church, not having spot or wrinkle, in other words, there's no sin in his church, or any such thing. But his church is that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what the Lord's church is to be. That's what we are supposed to be. We are his church. If we are walking and living by his word, that's exactly the way we will be. And when he comes back for his church, which is not too far off, we don't know the day, the week, or the month, or the year, but we know that it is close. Very close. It could happen at any time. And we need to be ready. Because when he comes, if we have a spot or a blemish upon us, we'll not make it. When he comes from the church and he calls his church out of this world, and they go to meet him there in the air, only those that are ready and those that are without spot and blemish are going to be the only ones to go meet him. The rest is going to be left here and be lost. Now we have those that claim, well, no, you won't be lost. Because, you see, there'll still be those saved during those days and times. No, not for us. Not for the Gentile people. No. You see, when the church age ends, it's closed. Think about it. There'll be no church left here. Now, they will be, yes, they will be 144,000 saved through tribulation. But they are all of the Jewish people. And we're told that. But they want to claim just because we have been engrafted into the Jewish nation that we count the same thing. Those that are left here have not been grafted in. And no, this 144,000 will be 12,000 from each one of the Jewish tribes. I don't know why it's so hard for man to understand that God tells us in his word exactly what he means. Other than it's not what they want it to be. So they want to use their mind to change it. Well, that don't change the word of God. What I think it should be or what I think it should mean don't matter. It's what it says. And that's what we have to live by. What it says. Not what I want it to be. Because then I would be overruling God. But this is why so many today, they don't want to come to a church to where the preacher is going to preach the truth of God's word. They don't want to hear it. That's not the way I think. That's what they say. They'll let you know that. Well, that's not the way I think. That's not the way I take it. It don't matter. What did it say? That's what matters. It's what it says. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Until we accept the Lord and bring him into our lives, we all walked, actually, with no thought of nothing but ourselves. What do I want? What do I like? Pride. That's what it amounted to. We all walked that way until we came to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we went to him, and we gave ourselves to him. You see, we still got people in the churches today. They have been, most of them have been to the altar and asked Jesus to forgive them, but they have never really given themselves to him. And that's what we must do. We have to give ourselves to him and ask him into our lives and to live through us. We're to walk in Jesus and Jesus in us. But that's not what most are wanting today. It's what's in their mind instead of what is on the pages of the Bible. And they'll go through, because we have so many different versions of the Bible today, our pastors will sit down and to make their sermons and to make them into what they want it to be instead of what the Word of God told them. They'll go through two or three different versions to get it. Because they've had all these different versions of the Bible printed up that has changed the word against the word of Almighty God. Now, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Are you? Not unless you have really brought him in to your life and have him living in you and you living in him, That's the only way. He goes on here now, 31, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You see, we're not supposed to let anyone come between us and our wives. No one. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that man has made the Lord, actually the Lord of his life, and made him his head, then he's going to guide his wife in the right way and be what he should be to her. And he's going to love her and have her even on a pedestal, because he's going to have her to where he's willing to give his life for her. Now, verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. 32. He says, this that we've been talking about is a great mystery. But Paul says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, marriage is like the church. The Lord Jesus should be the head of every church out here. But you know he's not, and I know he's not. They have made it their own way, and they have taken the truth of Jesus out of a lot of our churches. In fact, out of most of our churches. But if you and I will walk really according to the Word of God, if that is our life and we are married, we are going to hold our wife where she should be. And we are going to be willing to give our lives for her. Now, we'll end chapter 5 here with this verse. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. He tells you and I exactly how we are to deal and be with our wives, and he tells our wives how she should be thinking of us. We are to love our wife really more than we love ourselves. And she is to reverence us. That's putting love away beyond what we think about love today. She is to reverence her husband. What a glorious marriage that makes. And I can tell you that, because you see, that's what Libby and I had. That's what we have in our marriage. We didn't fuss and fight. In the beginning, there was a few times and a few things that we disagreed on, because we had both been from different places. But we both loved the Lord, so we'd sit down and talk things out and come to an agreement. Then it wasn't long after that that we was walking together as one. And that love was there, and it was deep. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're going to close here for the night. I'm going to close a little early. I don't want to get into six because we haven't got time really to get into the depth and the key of that message. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time we can come to share your word, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the night. Give us guidance, Father, in all thy ways. In our prayer list, Father, that we read earlier, we know that you know, Father, each and every one of them. Touch them through the night, Father. And those that are standing in need of healing, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them with that healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to chase Satan away. Satan, take that sickness and leave each one. You can't stand before the name of Jesus. His word tells us that. So we are commanding right now, take that sickness and leave. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, be with us throughout this night and in the days coming. And bring us all back together again come Sunday morning, Father, when once again we can be back into your word. Be with us now, Father. Hold us all. Hold us all, Father, upon that pathway of righteousness, touching each and every one of us, Father, with thy mighty hand. Make us whole, Father, both spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we can all be together again come Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night now.